And now, cleaning up in our question of the week, here's Hannah Critchlow.
The Naked Scientist's Question of the Week, brought to you in association with the How to Wissmann Foundation, supporting science and education from Alpha to Omega.
This week, Jim in Virginia takes us on a journey to explore whether plastics persist in our oceans.
Hello, this is Jim from Smithfield, Virginia. I understand that acrylic, polystyrene, and polyester plastics make up most of the growing body of waste plastic in the ocean, and that this stuff never breaks down, but just gets fragmented and eventually ingested by living organisms. But we know that nothing persists forever, so these plastics have to break down at some point. Does anyone know how long it takes to reach this stage?
We beg the answer from Mark in Minnesota.
My name is Mark Hillmeyer, and I'm a professor of chemistry and the director of the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the University of Minnesota. Plastics represent an amazing class of materials called polymers. These long-chain molecules have remarkable properties and, as we know, find use in nearly all aspects of our lives. Their broad applicability is due in part to their durability and resistance to degradation. However, this resistance to degradation is one of the pitfalls of plastics when they end up as trash in our environment. Unfortunately, a large quantity of our plastic trash ends up in the ocean and negatively impacts ocean life and the health of our ecosystems. Scientists and engineers across the globe are now grappling with this daunting environmental issue. So while you might think they would quickly corrode, dissolve, or otherwise be broken down soaking in our oceans, this is not the case. Most plastics are made from simple oil-derived compounds and thus are very hydrophobic or water-hating. In fact, plastics that have lived their useful life decades ago have been found floating in the Pacific Ocean, providing compelling evidence for their robust nature. Eventually, plastics that do end up in our oceans will break down through mechanical abrasion, oxidative degradation, and other chemical and sometimes biochemical processes. But this can take literally 100 years or more, depending on the specifics of their chemical composition. Making the situation worse, plastics are generally resistant to sunlight. Next-generation polymers are being designed to be durable in use, but readily broken down after disposal. Getting away from petroleum starting materials and generating new plastics that do not present such environmental hazards are important sustainability challenges in the world of polymers.
And what happens to all of this plastic floating around in our oceans? Richard Thompson, Professor of Marine Biology at Plymouth University, explains his experiments.
I work with common mussel, Mytilus edulis, which is the same species as you'd have with mussels and chips, if you like, mole fruit. We've shown that if you give them a pulse exposure to small pieces of plastic in the laboratory, you move them to clean conditions where there's no plastic, even 40 days later, some of those individuals have still got plastic in their gut. So there's clear evidence that a range of creatures, a range of small invertebrates are eating plastic and indeed are retaining that material.
Tasty. Moving onwards and upwards.
Hello, Naked Scientist. I'm Daniel Spain in Tennessee in the United States. And I was wondering, if there were a large object, maybe like a meteorite, falling straight down overhead, right out of the sky, and it was hit directly towards me, what kind of warning would I notice? Would there be an accompanying sound, or would I not know it until it's too late? Looking forward to the answer. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
Would Daniel receive any warning before being squished? Send your thoughts to Chris at thenakedscientist.com, tweet at Naked Scientists, write on our Facebook page, or join in the debate on our forum, which is at nakedscientists.com/forum.
Thank you, Hannah. That's Hannah Critchlow with our question of the week. And that's all we have time for this week. Next time, we're looking at sensor technology, finding out how a specially designed network of sensors can monitor an entire airport and how to design tools to peek inside a working jet engine and keep it in tip-top condition. You can email your questions to chris@thenakedscientists.com, tweet @nakedscientists, or post them to our Facebook page. Thanks to Dan Cook, Paul Piff and David Butler for joining us, and to our production team of Miracentha Lingam, Hannah Critchlow and Tom Simpkins.
The Naked Scientists podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the STFC, the Natural Environment Research Council and UK FAST. For more cutting-edge science, join us online at nakedscientists.com.